namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om 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 namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Morning text 16 has a nice long purport speaking about deity worship in temples in Satya Yuga, process of meditation. So, translation for text 16, Canto 3, Chapter 59. The devotee should regularly see my statues, Dishnya, statues, in the temple, touch my lotus feet, and offer worshipable paraphernalia and prayer. He should see in the spirit of renunciation from the mode of goodness and see every living entity as spiritual. Report by Srila Prabhupada. Temple worship is one of the duties of a devotee. It is especially recommended for neophytes. But those who are advanced should not refrain from temple worship. There is a distinction in the manner a neophyte and an advanced devotee appreciate the Lord's presence into the temple. A neophyte considers the archa vigraha, parentheses, the statue of the Lord, to be different from the original personality of God, and he considers it a representation of the Supreme Lord in the form of the deity. But an advanced devotee accepts the deity in the temple as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He does not see any difference between the original form of the Lord and the statue, or archa, form of the Lord in the temple. This is the vision of a devotee whose devotional service is in the highest stage of bhava, or love of Godhead, whereas a neophyte's worship in the temple is a matter of routine duty. Remember, this section is topmost, unmixed devotion. But these are symptoms of that. And practical life of one who is on that stage. So the previous verse was performance of prescribed duties with the consciousness of detachment from what I'll gain from doing my prescribed duties rather than simply being situated in devotion. Animitena, and then without excessive violence, nati himshena. So now this is another aspect of the life of such a devotee. So I like this is the picture. When you think of, at least when I'm accustomed to thinking of, okay, Satya Yuga, they go in some remote place and they do meditation. I'm sure some persons did like that, but here this is devotees without attachment, temple worship, Satya Yuga on the platform of perfection, and how they see that temple worship of the deity. Next paragraph. Temple, and by the way, deities with a capital D. Temple deity worship is one of the functions of a devotee. He goes regularly to see the deity nicely decorated and with veneration and respect. He touches the lotus feet of the Lord and presents offerings of worship, such as fruits, flowers, and prayers. At the same time, to advance in devotional service, a devotee should see other living entities as spiritual sparks, parts and parcels of the Supreme Lord. A devotee is to offer respect to every entity that has a relationship with the Lord. Because every living entity originally has a relationship with the Lord, as part and parcel, the devotee should try to see all living entities on the same equal level of spiritual existence. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, a pandita, one who is learned, sees equally a very learned Brahman, Shudra, hog, a dog, and a cow. He does not see the body. Of course, he sees the body, but doesn't identify the living entity as the body. He does not see the body, which is only an outward dress. He does not see the dress of a brahmana, or that of a cow, or of a hog. He sees the spiritual spark, part and parcel of the Supreme Lord. If a devotee does not see every living entity as part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, he is considered a prakrita bhakta, a materialistic devotee. He's not completely situated on the spiritual platform, rather, he is in the lowest stage of devotion. He does, however, show all respect to the deity. Next paragraph. Although a devotee sees all living entities on the level of spiritual existence, he is not interested in associating with everyone. Simply because a tiger is part and parcel of the Supreme Lord does not mean that we embrace him because of his spiritual relationship with the Supreme Lord. We must associate only with persons who have developed Krishna consciousness. Paragraph, some more. We should befriend and offer special respect to persons who are developed in Krishna consciousness. Other living entities are undoubtedly part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, but because their consciousness is still covered and not developed in Krishna consciousness, we should renounce their association. It is said by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur that even if one is a Vaishnava, if he is not of good character, his company should be avoided, although he may be offered the respect of a Vaishnava. Anyone who accepts Vishnu as the Supreme Personality of Godhead is accepted as a Vaishnava, but a Vaishnava is expected to develop all the good qualities of the demigods. The last paragraph. The exact meaning of the word sattvena is given by Sridhar Swami as being synonymous with dhairyena, or patience. One must perform devotional service with great patience. One should not give up the execution of devotional service because one or two attempts have not been successful. One must continue. Sri Rupa Goswami also confirms that one should be very enthusiastic and execute devotional service with patience and confidence. Patience is necessary for developing the confidence that, quote, Krishna will certainly accept me because I'm engaging in devotional service. Last sentence. One has only to execute service according to the rules and regulations to ensure success. What a wonderful acharya, Prabhupada, handling these delicate, touchy, sensitive things so expertly. So each of the paragraphs has its own message. Deity worship, seen by the neophyte, seen by the advanced devotee. Seen differently, both should have. Not because one is advanced, one doesn't do. Not that the neophyte should imitate the advanced devotee. So it's like, it's just a short paragraph, so nicely explained. This is Satya Yuga. It's not Dwarapayuga, where deity worship is the primary means of achieving spiritual perfection in other ages. Deity worship is also there, just like with the chanting of a holy name. The specifying, at least so far, chanting doesn't mean there's no chanting. Just like Guru Maharaj was given a process of meditation, he's also given a mantra. And so many nice examples. The prajetas were given prayers to recite. So the other activities are accompanying, but a focus upon the means to achieve anumoy devotion is primary means is emphasized differently in different ages. So still deity worship is there in Satya Yuga. Right? And following, so seeing the Supreme Lord, now how do you see other living entities besides the Supreme Lord? Seeing the equal vision, not seeing according to the dress. So if that's all that one understands, then indiscriminate behavior could easily follow. Everyone is part and parcel of Krishna. So then the third paragraph is making distinctions of with whom one chooses to primarily associate. Using the example of the tiger, we don't go and embrace the tiger. And then the etc. follows that. We make distinctions, although we recognize the spiritual identity, the fundamental spiritual identity. This is Madhyama training. Although when somebody makes a distinction between make friends with devotees and preach to the innocent or extend compassion to the innocent, avoid the dvaniya. Here Prabhupada is going into this even more delicate area. A Vaishnava who is a bad character. One could say, well, someone who is a bad character is not a Vaishnava. But the converse is, a Vaishnava is one who accepts Vishnu and worships Vishnu. Although they're not yet of good character, they still possess a bad character. It's delicate or sensitive topic. Easily one could take this position or that position and not in a balanced way see both positions. Prabhupada is helping his followers to understand both positions. Respect a Vaishnava for the fact that they hold Vishnu or Krishna as supreme and wish to serve him and not intimately associate with that person if their conduct is bad. We don't condemn them. We don't intimately associate with them. So the respect is one thing, and then intimate association is another thing. He handles this very well. It's very, very nice instruction. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Even if one is a Vaishnava, if he is not a good character, his company should be avoided. Although he may be offered the respect of a Vaishnava. And so here's the definition of a Vaishnava: anyone who accepts Vishnu as the Supreme Personality of Godhead is accepted as a Vaishnava. So that's like like the ten offenses. One may accept Vishnu and commit the ten offenses regularly. Still a Vaishnava. Not a high-grade Vaishnava. It's not one who one is advised to intimately associate with. That person is advised to avoid the ten offenses, and one who's avoiding the ten offenses is advised to avoid a close association of that person who isn't. Avoid the offenses. You can still have hold respect for that person, just don't intimately associate with. And then the last point, is this word sattvena in the verse. So let's look at the verse. Bhuteshu mad bhavanaya, that's the seeing every living entity's bhavanaya, consider all living entities as spiritual sparks. Sattvena asamgamena cha. Sattvena, Prabhupada has put, by the mode of goodness. So the translation is, he should see in the spirit of renunciation from the mode of goodness and see every living entity as spiritual. So now this paragraph in the purport, the exact meaning of the word sattvena, Sridhar Swami says, is synonymous to dhairyena or patience. So we have this dhairya, same as Rupa Goswami's term, patience, in the mode of goodness. Specifically, the application is continuing despite, oh, I haven't achieved perfection yet. Or, I'm still struggling with my conditioning. Patience is one of the characteristics of this elevated state of Krishna consciousness, and from our position should be cultivated. Patience is necessary for developing the confidence that Krishna will certainly accept me because I'm engaged in devotional service. It's kind of, you know, one helps the other. Patience helps one become established in confidence. Certainly confidence helps one become established in patience. If I have faith in the process, I'm confident in the process. I may be weak and insufficient in so many ways. My hope is, my trust, my confidence, my continuing forward is in the process itself. I have confidence in the process. Because of mercy, I've been contacted by the process. I can move forward. Not because of me, but because of this merciful process. I have confidence in the process. And therefore, I can be patient for the result to come. To me, that direction is very reasonable, very sensible. However, Prabhupada is presenting it in the flip side. If one doesn't have the quality of patience, how is one going to have confidence? Your impatience is going to disturb your confidence. And patience has something to do with the result is out of my control. That is to say, the mode of passion is diminished. The influence of passion being results. And acting through false ego, I'm going to achieve and do. Then I become impatient because it's not happening. Must be something wrong in the process. But if I don't have patience for results to come in time, it diminishes, weakens one's confidence. I've seen that in devotees. Usually what I do is I encourage, well, have confidence in the process. And this nice instruction, when I think about this, the quality of patience. It's and sattvena, mode of goodness, sattva, or dhairyena. Final sentence, one has only to execute service according to the rules and regulations to ensure success. One who strives by right means. as Krishna says. So, the rules and regulations may be seen as an obstacle or a difficulty or a hardship or even, you know, something unwanted and superfluous by some persons. Why have to just be sincere? Why do we need all these rules and regulations? Sincerity is needed. Rules and regulations are also needed. They help us achieve patience and confidence in the process. So any discussion? We're a good discussion group, so the class is a little shorter. Yeah.
I was just thinking, I don't know whether my observation is correct. I was observing that typically the greatest offender for a Vaishnava is generally found to be another Vaishnava, not really a non-devotee. Like at least like when we look around, like the amount of blasphemy that is there. I just find it hard to understand like how they are engaged in the process of purification, but at the same time, because of their offensive nature, just so much overriding that they don't change, and then they just become like a venomous serpent, like more and more. I find it very hard to understand this, how they are.
Okay. Well, yeah, it's hard to understand. There are certainly offenders that are outside of the realm of bhakti. That are offenders to bhakti. Like, we're just more familiar with the ones that are offenders within the realm of bhakti. There are, you know, little Hiranyakashipus all over the place without details. It's a person directly vilifying Prabhupada, scholars and copywalkies and people. You know, aside from the misconduct of ISKCON's members, just directly criticizing Prabhupada. So there's some pretty strong cases of that. The second point in response is, yes, it's hard to understand, but what, at least what it seems to me is something, it's a snowball. It's something that's small. People, you know, they may do something small thinking it's small, but that leads to the next thing, leads to the next thing, leads to the next thing, and you know, it just gets out of control. So a weakness of mind and senses with regard to Vaishnava dealings gets one carried away. And you know, different psychologies drive it. Someone has their own weakness. They want to feel like, yeah, it's okay, I have this weakness because that person, you know, this, and that leads to the next thing, leads to the next thing. So it's not surprising. The base of the pyramid is bigger than the top of the pyramid. And it's Kali Yuga. It's one of Bhakti Chumar's often stated phrases. You know, this is the influence of Kali. When what you described happens, it's just the influence of Kali. Someone does this, someone does that. Groups of people do this and that. It's just Bhakti is there and Kali is there, and some persons become influenced by Kali. Horrible. Insidious.
So I was trying to understand in relation to what Srila Prabhupada said, that that we need to respect them, although they may not have good character.
We respect the respect goes to the soul and the soul having some regard for Vishnu as the Supreme. That's where the respect goes. Behavior is something else. The behavior is not like zero connection to the person, but the behavior is not the person.
So my question is that, would there be a difference between the respect that is shown to a non-devotee versus a person like who is a worshipper of Vishnu, but at the same time...
Well, and from a, if you're Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, meaning, you know, you regard the Absolute Truth, on the one hand, bhakti is within the heart of everyone. But at the same time, when bhakti isn't activated, hasn't been yet awakened, then you don't have the same regard. You know, the good behavior of someone who's non-devotee is not good behavior from an absolute perspective. Shama Eli Kevalam. So, from our position, just practically speaking, there's regard for someone who whose conduct isn't vicious and malicious, and at the same time we don't intimately associate with that person either. We may, you know, in a social way interact with them, but respectfully, and they in turn respectful towards us. And our meditation or prayer to Krishna is, may some bhakti go into the heart of that person. So in other words, yes, we may even associate with that person more than we would with the person who is a vilifier. Although we respect the bhakti, that the acceptance of the personality of Godhead within the heart of the vilifier, and pray that Krishna rectifies them. Well, so that means is, you know, one may get the mercy of a Vaishnav more likely if you're not yet a Vaishnav than if you're a Vaishnav who is a vilifier. And the mercy will come in another way, in the form of a thunderbolt from Krishna.
So Maharaj, we were talking about the way everyone looks at the deities in a different perspective. A neophyte looks at the deities at a different level, and spiritually advanced person will look at. I didn't understand that concept. Like, to me, when I go to the temple, I see that though they are deities, the material form, or the I see them as Krishna himself sitting there, and Radha and all his abode sitting there. So I don't understand how they, each person looks it at a different way.
Well, there's it's not buckets. You're either in this bucket or that bucket. It says, you know, directionally and direct. So there's gradations in between, is what I'm saying here. So just go down to this end. Stone, wood, metal, statue. I mean, the exact language, statue. Like you might see a statue of Napoleon or, I don't know, somebody. Queen Elizabeth. That's somebody. Abraham Lincoln sitting on the Lincoln Memorial. The statue. Not the person. Stone. Representing. That's exactly the language used in the first one. So that's down on this end. And then way over on this end is, they don't see wood or stone, they see the person. And according to their, you know, in a really advanced stage, according to their rasa with Krishna, they see him that way. It's not that they don't see stone, wood, or metal, but they see Krishna, and they serve that way, and they interact that way. That's their heart and their behavior. Now back over to this side. Statue. representation of. And then the variations in between. The way over here is ritualistic.
So, like the dressing up the deities, or making it more eloquent, and giving all the
paraphernalia,
and dressing up and making it more look.
There are gradations of that also. There's gradations of that.
Again, there are different levels over there too. How the people see whether they are dressing Krishna himself or they're just
etc. etc. There's so many.
Okay. Makes sense.
Guru Maharaj, I'm wondering, eager to hear your thoughts on deity worship with respect to outreach. So when do you, especially in this culture, country, when do you bring it, when do you introduce, what has been your experience?
There's different opinions. So, on the one hand and on the other hand, like Mr. John, Radha Damodar.
Right.
And, he loved Radha Damodar. Whether people liked Radha Damodar or didn't like Radha Damodar, they were with Vishnu Chan. I remember specifically, we went to Harlem, 125th Street, near whatever that park is that there's all these crimes and stuff, and we're right on the sidewalk, on the platform on the sidewalk, we're having Harlem.
In New York?
In New York, in Manhattan. Harlem. And, anywhere. So there's an argument, and we did that also. The Ramakrishna deities, Dandi Shakti was the pujari, and she took care of the deities. We went on Harinam, all over the city. 42nd Street in front of the library was one of our favorite spots. Different places, right on Fifth Avenue, and etc. So. It got stopped because there was a concern, perhaps a risk for the deity, safety for the deity. Mm-hmm. But that was an approach that we took. But today, the prevailing mood is, don't do that. So different opinions, different approaches. Either Dumbra Maharaj is really firm on this. Were you there when he did a program at Penn State? Or that was Governor Ryan.
Just after.
So it was really clear. No deities. It was like they didn't have a plan to have deities, but no deities and no this and no that. And some others have other approach.
When you did in New York decades back, what was the feedback that you received from the
audience? People loved it. They didn't know exactly, what's that? It wasn't that kind of response. It just looked very beautiful. They were very beautiful. I don't know if there was nonverbal responses where people were saying, yikes, these people are idol worshippers. Blah, blah, blah. That was the response. People very beautiful. Very, very beautiful.
How is that different from Jagannath Yatra that we do every year?
That's once a year. That's when it tends to begin. They're up in a big, many people don't even see them. They're just seeing a big cart going down.
Yes, parade is
literally. Oh, okay. You don't see the deities.
Well, some people don't see the deities. Some people do. The deities see them. That's the important, they're getting the mercy of Lord Jagannath. He's way up.
This topic of patience and confidence.
The topic of?
Patience and confidence.
Faith and confidence?
Patience
and confidence. Okay.
I see like there might be like three phases.
There might be?
Three phases. So initially, like, you know, one may be wanting to do so many things, but then the training is to, you know, remain patient and cultivate, and, you know, you go through that process, you know. And then you figure out that even if you try hard, you know, it's at Krishna's hand, and then there's a lot of slowing down, and, you know, you don't necessarily, you know, fight with things, and, you know, it's just... So my question is, when we are in this phase of kind of accepting, you know, okay, this is what, you know, Krishna's arrangements might be, but then there is also a lot of dissatisfaction within where we are not happy with the how the services are going on, or, you know, how our... So when do we make that, you know, call? You remain patient, you know, waiting, you know, whatever Krishna's plans are, but you may also have to take some proactive, you know, steps.
It's not a drawing a line. It's a matter of expression of one's devotion. You know, that one may make steps. Okay. One may make steps. Even I'm accepting. This is Krishna's arrangement. You know, the situation is what it is. You mean like, you know, there are nasty people who are in the dress of Vaishnavas. Now, what's my position of service? You take some positive step, and you can't, you know, get a gun and go shoot the person or something, because they're crazy and they really would, you know, they'd seem to be put out of their misery. Or other types of circumstances where you wish people were more cooperative, or they had a perspective on things that was more wholesome and healthy for them. I mean, you missed the questions that were being asked at MIT. Two or three people on the stress management topic, they were talking about the stress they feel about people they're trying to help, and they're stressed out by the fact that people don't seem to want help, although they're doing something that's hurtful to them. I mean, that's just an example. It's not, you know, one you're speaking of, but you while accepting the arrangement doesn't mean you become passive. You continue to strive in a way. You're a servant. You want to serve the person and the circumstance. So, but it's dependent upon Krishna's sanction, and it's dependent upon your own purity. Purity is the force. So, just to shorten, you know, a complex decision-making question that you're asking. The main focus can go, continue to make some effort while accepting. Continue to make some effort, even so your son's learning ability or disability or speech disability. What can you do? Accept it. But you continue to make efforts. And you continue to make efforts, but it's out of your hand. Ultimately, you do as an intelligent, caring, loving mother would do, and continue. You just keep continuing. You find something that works, you find a bunch of things that don't work, keep looking for something that works. So you continue to make effort, although the outcome is out of your hand. How do you go?
We need
your help. Hare Krishna. You continue to make some effort, although the result is out of your hand. And so there's the acceptance, and there's the effort. One doesn't cancel the other. Patience doesn't mean I don't. And I have at least one thing that it, that cannot be taken from me, and that is my desire to serve. And I'll continue to make my effort to serve. Now, according to the inspiration and intelligence that Krishna gives, then one other point is a lesson I've learned from Bhurija, and I've repeated many times. In some cases, it's particularly in interpersonal matters, there's some situations that just between Krishna and that person, the relationship between Krishna and that person, you step back. Don't try, you know, don't strive in devotion to assist the situation or the person. Pray, but not so much do something. So there's an example of making a line where the effort goes in the form of prayer rather than doing something. So it doesn't take away the spirit of devotion, it's just where that spirit of devotion flows. What might you do? It doesn't stop caring capacity because you've accepted. But the form of that, you know, should be directed according to the circumstance appropriately. Is that, is something else specific on your mind, or you want to?
No, kind of focus generally.
Okay.
Just one after that.
Sure.
Like one kind of a negative impact that I noticed while trying to cultivate this quality of patience is the inertia. Like, you know.
Big time.
Yeah. So when, like, talking again about this dissatisfaction, you know that you need to take some initiative, but, you know, it's not necessarily complacency, but it's more of coming out of that inertia, and, you know, because you were for so many years used to, you know, not taking initiative.
Are you speaking of you, or are you speaking of the other persons?
Myself.
Okay, okay.
So how, because in,
compassion. I mean, you know, there's the person who is moved by doership. We're going to save the world, rescue the conditioned souls. You know, Superman or firefighter or something. Passion, control, and, you know, do, and so that's, you know, that's. It happens. Some people that take up the life of Sankirtan movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with that view in mind. But a mode of goodness view is this will be purifying for me. Step outside of my own autobiography and act as an instrument of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It may or may not be my nature, that's okay. Let me be an instrument of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for my purification. And if he's pleased, that will help my spiritual advancement too. It's good for them, good for me. You know, as Prabhupada was told by Bhaktisiddhanta. So it's just a different mode or different motivator than, you know, my paradigm. Mm-hmm. Is this the mood of an instrument of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the disciplic succession? Mm-hmm. And I don't think I'm good at this, but that's okay. I'll be the squirrel or the spider or whatever that kicks in pieces of pebbles into the help build the bridge. Mm-hmm. And the Lord is going to be merciful and accept that service. That's all. Purification for me. Move to the spiritual conception as the instrument. And then Krishna can empower whoever he likes. And it's, you know, statistically, or sociologists that do studies indicate that, that, you know, when studying the reasons that, or how people became devotees, it's they become devotees in many cases through somebody that's not a devotee. So, if, you know, if you just have a relationship with someone, then they may meet someone who then becomes more interested in devotional service than that someone. So, you know, I'm just being an instrument. It's not me. And it's just by acting that way, I'm protected, I'm benefited, and others may also be benefited to whatever degree Krishna wants to bless that to happen. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Prabhupada ki jai.